Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 916, the Kings deserve to lose this game last night. Monk and Fox fourth quarter out of control moves instead of protecting the lead and the ball. Lyles and Sabonis couldn't make a layup if they tried. Same old Kings. Play up to your opponent's caliber. I think they might mean down to your opponent's caliber. So sad. That is from the 916. And as I mentioned before, you're trying to find a home. Chris Watkins, you're trying to find a home. Nate Littlefield, anybody out there know how it is in Northern California? It's hard to find stuff. And the reason that pricing is so ridiculous is the location, right? We complain when there's a little bit of rain and it never really drops under 50 degrees. Maybe it gets to 45 sometimes. But when you're looking for a home, it is all about location, location, location. You've heard that before. The problem that the Kings have had and the story of 2023 and 2024 is that the issue with the Kings comes with the rotation, rotation, rotation. There are guys that will start and then not play for 2 weeks. There are guys that will play and then sit and then come out of nowhere and then play well because they played well in a blowout, but then they play well in a good game and then they don't play again.
Keon.
And ultimately the question becomes, is this a product of the inconsistency, or is the inconsistency why you have this product?
Yeah.
And truthfully, Chris, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, can it be? Is it both? Like, can it be some combination?
Because we keep saying,
both?
Well, he keeps on looking for something.
Yeah, he's searching. He's been searching.
I saw something that actually cracked me up. Yeah. Somebody said, I thought Gabe Kapler left. It literally is getting to the point where it's
HB's an opener, man.
It's honestly, it is resembling platooning in baseball. That's what these rotations look like.
Yeah.
Platooning. Oh, it's a Keon night because of whatever reason. It's a Davion night because of whatever reason. Chris Duarte for a while could only start. He could not get subbed in a game. Yeah. What?
Remember Colby Jones playing?
Remember
at the
Colby
beginning
Jones
of the
playing?
Year? And then just not.
What is going on? Not. Mason Jones can't pay to get on the court?
No. Yeah.
What is going on? Yeah. And is the inconsistency due to nobody stepping up? But if you're not consistently getting time, how can you step up?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, I just think that you can look no further than Keon Ellis. Like, Keon starts in that Washington, in that Minnesota game.
Three steals.
Four steals. And seven assists, if I'm not mistaken, as well. And then just can't find the floor. Like, I think that's where it's tough to argue against it. It's like, you know, you have a fantastic win. Your team kind of, you know, picks themselves up from their bootstraps and gets a huge win against one of the best teams in the West without your best player. Keon's a huge part of it. You decided to give Keon the trust of starting him in that lineup. And then the next game after this huge win and just a great team effort, you just don't throw him out there at all. It's just a little strange. And, like, I could understand how, you know, a guy like Keon Ellis could maybe be a little upset by that and feel away. And, you know, that's where, you know, we talked about those Kevin Herter statements that he made the other day about, you know, oh, I wish I was out there to help him.
Oh, you were,
to
Kev.
Help resort.
No, you were out last night, Kev.
Didn't help much.
What happened?
But I think, like, that's when I said, you know, that's the kind, if that talk is starting, it can spread really quick. And I wouldn't blame a guy like Keon Ellis for saying, Coach, I just played one of my best games I've played all year. I've struggled to get in the rotation. I haven't complained. And then you throw me in the starting lineup after not playing me at all. I play great. What else do you want from me to do? And even then, he gives Davion the minutes. Like, yeah. it's,
and Davion did and not play no, poorly no, last
no,
night.
No, that's no shade at all to Davion, but it's just, what else is Keon Ellis supposed to do at that point? So, and I think it's a greater sign of everything. Like, yeah, I mean, Davion definitely has a beef to have with this team too. He's been in and out of the rotation.
He only played 9 minutes last night, so it's not as if.
And Chris Duarte too. He's been starting lineup or nothing. There's a lot of questions with the rotation that make sense, but also, I mean, I will push back and say, more specifically with a guy like Duarte, they wanted, like, they tried to make Duarte work. He got in foul trouble too much and missed too many shots. Davion took him a long time. He was just trying to spot up in the corner and shoot threes. He's not a good shooter. He's quickly found here that I can attack the rim and, and have impact. So I think that's why Davion's playing more. But I think that there is some beefs to be had amongst the players with just inconsistency and figuring out what exactly is it that you want from me in order to lock down the rotation, because it doesn't feel like there's any rhyme or reason to anybody who's not a starter or named Malik and Trey to when they're getting minutes. And that's including Alex Len and JaVale McGee, too, who, you know, that conversation's kind of been backburnered a bit.
Yeah, JaVale is now, I mean, he's the leader, the vocal leader, according to Mike Brown. That was said yesterday on some of the sound that we played. I'm just looking here at some of the numbers. You know, Alex Len, some people had a lot to say about Alex Len not getting some numbers or some time. He played 10 minutes. Davion played 9. And here's the glaring issue, right? We started a conversation that we didn't even really finish because the question was, who's more important to their team, Ayuk or Malik Monk? We ended up not doing that segment because I sat back and said, yeah, it's not even close. Malik Monk, right? So if we're going to praise Malik Monk when he plays well, Malik Monk last night, he had 6 assists. He had only 1 turnover. He had only 11 points, and he was 2 of 7 from 3-ball land and 4 of 12 from the field, and he played 30 minutes. So when you're looking, hey, where are these minutes going? Malik Monk is so important to this team that the starters can all be in double figures, and they will lose to a team that is not going anywhere. That's how important Malik Monk is. Yeah. And I don't know how sustainable that is. You know, the Keegan Murray thing for me, he played some good defense, and you've asked a lot out of Keegan Murray, but you have 5 fouls, so we can't keep you on DeMar. And offensively, I still think it's crazy when we're on Prop Talk and we're seeing Keegan Murray set at 12 points, but then game after game, he's not even getting there.
Yeah.
He's not even getting there.
Yeah.
Last night we thought, okay, and maybe I was sleeping on DeRozan and the Bulls a little bit, but I'm thinking, all right, there's no stud muffin that you're following around. No disrespect to those guys. Maybe Keegan could get going a little bit. The facade of the double-digit thing is exactly what it is, a facade. Because if your numbers are De'Aaron Fox only had 20, okay, Sabonis, we know no triple-double. He only had 4 assists, 18 points. But then the other double digits, HB had 10 with nothing else. With nothing else.
Yep.
1 rebound, 1 assist,
He's
1
back.
Steal. 10 points. That's not going to cut it. Keegan Murray, 11 points. It's not going to cut it. And Kevin Huerter, 12 points. It's not going to cut it. That's just not it. And then then the question is, well, you need Malik. You need somebody. That's not the bench. Those are starters.
Yeah.
Then off the bench, you have Malik. And that's it. Trey Lyles to shoot a 3 for some odd reason.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely something that it's a positive for this team to see Malik play so well like he has all year and be as important as he is. But when you think about how this team could, you know, I know today is maybe not the day to talk about playoffs, but like, can you rely on Malik Monk to show up for 7 straight games in a playoff series? Or is he a guy that it's, you know, yeah, he can give you 10 to 12 points on okay or bad nights, but you're really just hoping for him to pop in 2 games in a playoff series. Like, is it something that you can realistically rely on? I don't know. I think we've seen that he's been a part of the inconsistency as well. He played great to start the season, but really since then, it's been a lot of ups and downs. And I think just desperately in general, the Kings have needed a consistent scoring options besides De'Aaron, because Domas, he can get 20, but it's going to take some work for him to get, like, he's going to have to hit 10 field goals. He's not really going to hit a lot of threes. Maybe he can hit some free throws to help him out, but a lot of the time it's going to take a lot of work for Sabonis to get up to 20 points. That's why it was so important for Keegan to take a step offensively, and he's definitely taken a massive step defensively, but you're right. Like, with him scoring 11, that's just not enough. Like, at this point in the season, this is supposed to be the Kings playing their best basketball, them understanding who they are as a team and understanding the rotations. And the fact that we're still here talking about who is this team's third option every single night, like, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the year. And it's just a bit concerning, I think. Like, when you, I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about this team long term or at short term, but I just feel like this team has, they've just almost broken my brain. I just don't even know how you can let a night like last night happen with all of the importance that everybody knows is on these games and how people need to step up and for them to still not be playing defense. It's just maddening, man. It's just absolutely insane.
Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Good morning, man. Good morning, boys. Dude, I applaud you, Alan, specifically you. Chris, you know I got love for you as well.
It's all good.
But, Alan, you've only been here for months, and you're already just as frustrated as every single one of the rest of us that has been watching Kings basketball for the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
I applaud you because, you know what, you're expressing yourself in a way that I feel like every other fan feels the same way that you do. And I'm glad that you're yelling because, you know what? Damn it, someone has to, okay? Like, I'm tired of seeing all these guys, yeah, you know, it was a bad loss. It was we didn't do this. We didn't execute. We didn't. Where's the passion? Where's the anger? I'm not a yell. Like, I feel like yelling at somebody really doesn't fix things. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like the passion behind whatever the hell that is that you're trying to say and you're trying to instill in your players is what is going to have to drive the point home. Someone needs to get mad. Someone needs to get angry. I want to see someone at the podium being like, yo, this is crap. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as a fan, that's kind of what I want. And that's kind of what I'm feeling. I need to see more passion. I need to see more, like, Kobe hated to lose. He didn't talk to teammates after losses. He hated to lose. Mm-hmm. Jordan hated to lose. Allen Iverson hated to lose. They really did. And every single time that we watch a post-game interview or whatever, someone's getting post-game, you know, it was a bad loss and we didn't execute. Like, dude, what are you even doing? Like, what are you even doing? I get that you have to explain yourself, but man, I want to see some passion. I want to see some energy. And thank you for bringing that.
Thanks for the call, Steven. Yeah, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where you fall on the spectrum, that's just not who they are.
Yeah.
That's just not who they are. And you take the personality of your leader. And yeah, I was in there last night. De'Aaron said a lot of the same thing. That's why we didn't play any sound. Because you've heard it.
Yep.
There's nothing new. But
can't have nights like last night.
Right. When we return, we're going to look at the other side of things. See some of you on the Sack Chat that are putting things in perspective, right, over the last 25 so odd years. And there is a group of fans that will feel, they all said the same thing, or a lot of people said the same thing at the beginning of the season, Chris, just want to be competitive.
Oh,
right? Yeah. This is almost a test that fans are being put through to see, is that a real thing or not?
Right.
It is true for some fans. For some fans, it's not. Because if you're Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
That's what we heard for years, for the last 16, 17 years. Hey, man, I just want to be competitive. I just want to have some good teams to root for. I just want to get into the playoffs. And that's all I want. That's what everybody says.
Yeah, those are lies.
Not for everybody. Dwayne Baker on the Sack Chat is trying to keep it in perspective and say, hey, over the last 25 odd years, this is some of the best teams that we've seen, right? And I'm keeping that in perspective, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, Whitey told us, I think last week, Mike Brown right now is on pace to only be the second Kings head coach ever, Sacramento Kings head coach ever, to take his team to back-to-back playoff appearances.
So the question is,
Rick Adelman, obviously, the other one.
Where does everybody fall on on that scale, right, when it comes to we did this last season, we were supposed to get better, and hey, man, I'm still in the honeymoon phase of being a competitive team.
Yeah.
Right? And it seems like there are not a lot of honeymoon phasers at the moment. Why that is, maybe it would be different if the Kings were a six seed last season. I think the facade of the three seed, I think when people bring up the injury luck that the Kings had last season, even though they really haven't been that unlucky this season, just other teams haven't been as unlucky.
Right.
That is what propelled them. That on top of just a ridiculous offensive stretch, that got them that three seed. This team, it's the same team. We're literally seeing this is the same team.
Just about the same record.
With healthier competition and a couple other teams that have balled out a little bit due to health or whatever.
Yep.
So really, this team, and they have taken a step back offensively.
Yeah.
So, yes, instead of maybe being a 4 or 5 seed, now they're struggling to get that 6. They could still get a 5 seed, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But essentially, I think there are some people still living under the, we were the 3 seed last season.
Right.
And I'm not saying it was a fluke. I'm saying that some things did fall your way.
Right.
And it is now time to let that go. Just let it go.
Yeah. I think that it's definitely time for people to let that go. But I do think in general there was, because it was a big debate this summer. I mean, we had it, not us two, but, you know, we had it on this station in general throughout the summer, and tons of fans would chime in during the offseason and say, no, this team was a 3 seed last. I just think that people expect, we have the non-linear conversation all the time. I just think that it's a lot of that, too, that people not only expected this team to be at that quality that they were last year in terms of being a top 3 seed, but also not only do we need to reach that mark, but we have to be better than that mark. And that's just not the reality of the situation. I mean, yeah, I heard Jason talk about this morning, Jake Shapiro being on our show talking about how really it's about the first year of the ride and then the last year of the ride. Those are the funnest times, is when things are new and then when you eventually win. Everything in between is torture. And I think that that's kind of a bit of what we as Kings fans are going through right now. Is last year was a blast. Everything, expectations were low. Everything was a positive. And now it's like you said in the tease, Ricky Bobby syndrome. If you're not first, you're last. And I think people are feeling that, what's the point of this year? The season's cooked. They're going to lose in the first round anyway. Why should I pay attention to the second half of the season? Well, I mean, that was always probably, they were going to lose in the first or second round always. It's just, it feels like the hope is gone. The expectation or the possibility that maybe they could still even exceed my expectations.
Yes, that's gone.
Is completely gone.
And now it's, let's just talk about next season. From the text line, the 916, this team accepts losing. That is from,
what does that mean?
That is from Nick. We knew the Kings aren't a championship contender. What we didn't know was that this team is not a playoff contender. That's who they are right now.
That's interesting.
The playoff, right. So a playoff contender in my mind would be second round.
Yes, I would say so.
And
a team to make some noise, right?
A team to make some noise. Yeah. They are not making noise. It is silent right now with the Kings. From the 510.
Silent but deadly.
Just wanting to get in is loser mentality. Honestly, what this is, Chris, this is a social experiment.
Oh, it sure is.
If we took, there was a group of all the NBA teams that have never won a championship, and I think it was Bleacher Reporter, somebody said, which team wins one first, right? If we took all those teams and the teams that are still bad now, so the expectations are a little bit different, everybody that says, man, I just want to be competitive, how much do you actually care about that? I go to you a lot as a Vikings fan. Those years where the Vikings were making the playoffs and it was... Yeah. How fun was it? Let me just ask you, how fun has it been to be in the mix but not really feel like you're going to win the big one? But there's a chance that you could.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma because every year I feel positive, but it's always things kind of got to go our way. And some years you feel better than others, but it's different. But it's definitely better than this. Like it's definitely better than this. But it's tough. I mean, it is tough to always be in it, but never be the favorite too. I mean, it's it's a weird purgatory. It's its own weird purgatory in itself. We were talking about how the Bulls are in this, you know, do they want to be bad or do they want to compete? I mean, you know, it's almost just as bad or a different level to be good but not great or great but not incredible. And I think that's the fear with all these teams. But at the same time, man, it's like only one team can win. And so I refused, and it goes a bit to the greater conversation of what was asked of Giannis last year. Like, is this season a failure? Well, I don't know, man. Like, there's so many things along the way that I don't know if you can just call it in itself a failure. Maybe one step is a failure, but I don't think you can grade the whole thing. I don't. That might be a long way of answering your question, but it's not great to be in it, but not feel like you can win it every year.
Right. It's just a different feeling because you still get to experience playoffs with fellow fans, and you still have hope. And if the Kings get in, they hope's still the have that hope. The hopium is back. It's just a matter of, do you truly believe that you will get it done or not? And that's a question. The text line from the 916, we will read this when we get back. They're saying we are taking a micro approach when we should be taking a macro approach. And it's not that I disagree with you, 916. It's about the timing of who you want to blame and who we can blame right now. We will break all of that down and continue the conversation and blame Pi. And we'll also look forward, like we said, opening up the phone lines, not just to talk about last night's game, because we all watched it. We've seen it multiple times, like it's on DVR or something like that. We're looking at the whole season, and we're looking at the future of this Kings team. How long was this plan supposed to take? I saw it was somebody last night who said to me that we're still ahead of schedule. And the window, we're only in the second year of this. What is this?
I don't know about that.
What is this? What are you in the second year of? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Some callers have been waiting over the break, so we will get to you right now. And you can use the same phone number, 916-339-1140, to win Chris Brown tickets. That's at 1 p.m. Thanks to Live Nation, who has teamed up with Sacktown Sports. That's at 1 p.m. And I will be picking the number today, and Nate will take care of you if you are that lucky number. Let's get it to Leo, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Leo? What you got for us?
Hey, I appreciate kind of like what you said about the Kings searching for a number three option, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in order for them to be a contender, and this is just me, and I'm always hoping I'm wrong, I still don't think they have a number one option to be a contender, that is. I mean, they're competitive and all that, but the best player on this team in order to be a contender is not here yet.
Wow. Leo?
It's just the reality. I mean, we don't have an all-star. Yeah, it could have been, should have been, whatever. But the reality is you got to have two bona fide Hall of Fame type players to be a contender. That's just the way the NBA is. We don't have one yet. And so in order for us to get beyond being just kind of competitive, just kind of hanging, the best player on this team isn't here yet.
That's a great call, Leo.
Give Leo some flowers, man, for saying that. I mean, that's a very unpopular thing to say.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, he sounds very confident in what he's saying. And I think that's a great point to bring up right now.
We have dabbled. We have not fully went in and said it.
Yeah.
And in part, we've talked about it on the roundtable. I've asked Brendan and Frank. I said, hey, a number one option on a franchise team or a franchise player on a championship team, is that De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah.
I think the answer for most people is that he will get there.
Yes, right.
But
he's on his way.
He's on his way to that. So maybe to answer Leo's question.
Yeah.
he's not there yet, as in De'Aaron Fox could arrive, because he is right. I look at this franchise guy thing the same way you look at a franchise quarterback, okay? And the bottom line is, when you have certain owners and you're making money no matter what, yeah, we're going to talk about it even though we're the flagship. We'll be honest. I see it all over social media. The Kings raise the prices. People keep talking about
it. A lot.
All right? And we know we're the flagship, but that's the truth.
Friends and family who are paying for it.
People are tagging me. People are saying, hey, what about this? I'm not going to say whether or not they should have. That's not my job. But the fact is, if you charge people more, they're expecting a better product. Yep. Or they're expecting a product to match. So when you look at other – the problem is when you look at other owners, right, and we talked about this with the Niners. Mm-hmm. Why did the Niners extend – Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they haven't won anything yet. Well, because they're in the mix every single season, and that still puts money in Jed York's pocket because they got that hopium over there in Santa Clara. Now, looking at the Kings, the fact that the Kings are playing better than they have in the last 16 years, that's still making them money.
Yeah.
So now they feel like we can raise the prices because we're better than we were.
Right.
Fans are looking at it and saying, but we're still not getting there.
Right, exactly.
And when it comes to De'Aaron Fox and or Domantas Sabonis, the bottom line is you could probably look at both of them and say they're elite number twos. Mm-hmm. Is one of them going to become a number one, or do you need to find a guy?
Right.
The issue is, how do you find a guy when you're stuck in that phase or in that area of we're trying to compete? We still think we have a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll play devil's advocate here. I think it's a great question. I think it's a totally fair question. I think I'll even give you a little crumb of things to work with to counter my own argument here. But I think I just kind of go back to what we played from Kevin Huerter yesterday, where he said, you know, De'Aaron's one of the biggest or best flip the switch guys in the league, where when he's great, when he's locked in, he can be that guy that we're talking about. We saw in the playoffs last year, he went toe to toe with Steph Curry for four games or for five games. Mm-hmm. He truly did. He was as good or as impactful for his team, or near it, as close as you could get to what Steph was bringing last year. That's proof that De'Aaron can be that guy. But the fact that Kevin Herter's saying there's a switch that is flipped tells you that a lot of the times he's not playing to that caliber. He looks a lot of the time like a B+, like a, okay, yeah, he can maybe be a 1B to a 1A, but he's got capabilities of turning it on and being that 1A guy. It's just more times than not. I mean, and I think it's really not funny, but there's a clear and obvious comparison to make. And if you look at what Shea does for his team and where his team is currently at, Shea this season averaging 31 points per game, 2 steals a game, shooting 50% from the field, 38% from three. His team's in a number one seed right now. De'Aaron, when he was up at 30 points per game, shooting 40%, Kings looked great to start the year. But then he's since fallen off. I think he's all the way down at 27 points per game now. He has not been that caliber of guy this season for the entirety of the year. And I think that's the big difference, is if De'Aaron's playing to the level that Shea is, I think you can excuse some Kevin Huerter bad games. I think you can excuse, you know, Keegan Murray having a slow shooting start to the season. You can excuse HB not having that aggressiveness because De'Aaron is so head and shoulders better than everybody else on the other team. It's just more times than not, you have performances like last night where it's, how is De'Aaron Fox scoring 20 points?
It just can't happen.
And how is that happening?
Look, and I'll say the silent part out loud. De'Aaron Fox is not a number one option for a championship team right now. No. That's why the Kings aren't going to win a championship.
Exactly, yeah.
You cannot, and I know he was injured, but he played through it. In 2 weeks, you can't lose to that Heat team. I don't care about Heat culture. You cannot lose to that Heat team a week ago and then lose to the Bulls tonight and your best player played. No other franchise guy on a championship contender is losing both of those games. I don't care. Yep. I don't care. 510 is saying the Sacramento Robins. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Even had Robin Lopez for a brief second there.
That was Chris's favorite time. We were in Vegas.
Great, man. Things could have gone
Robin Lopez for a bit.
Things would have gone so much better if we just kept Robin Lopez, man. I'm telling you.
I don't think that De'Aaron can't get there.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
he's not there right now.
He's not there.
Yeah, he's working towards getting there. Absolutely. He could get there next year. But he's not there right now.
Because if you're Kevin Hurd, you're talking about flipping a switch.
Yeah.
You're at home against the Bulls. What other time is there to flip the switch than now?
Yeah. I mean, 23 games left before last night. Yeah. It's the time. I mean, your team needs it too. I mean, there's a bit of recognition there that needs to happen. And, you know, and that's why I was talking yesterday. Like, it's great. Trey Lyles was willing to speak up. But, you know, when the Kings were falling out there, like, they needed an on-the-floor leader to calm things down. They needed somebody who was out there to say, guys, what are we doing right now? We're just tossing. And the problem was De'Aaron was part of the problem.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to step up and say, I'm like, where's lead by example in those moments right there where he's turning the ball over three times in the fourth quarter. Malik does the same thing, follows the example, turns the ball over three times in the fourth quarter. You got to be better. Like, you have to be better. Both of them, Malik and De'Aaron. Again, Malik was the guy who stepped up when De'Aaron was out. Had 0 points in the second half. De'Aaron, 1 point in the fourth quarter. They're not going to win games if De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk combine for 1 point in a fourth quarter. That's just not happening unless they're winning by 30 already.
Yeah, or if Keegan decides that he wants to shoot the basketball, which he has not done. From Aaron, not sure what a viable path is to get a better franchise guy than Fox.
I mean, that's
not realistically happening via trade or free agency. That's the problem. You're probably blowing it. But you're blowing it up, though.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to trade Sabonis. You would either trade Sabonis or Keegan.
Yeah, or Fox.
Or Fox.
Any of the. Yeah, you have to start not completely from scratch, but basically from scratch. Because you're trying to draft somebody at that point because of the issues with free agency and trade.
Or, you could trade Sabonis and Kevin Herter and try to get
a star.
Bam Adebayo or something. Yeah, I don't know.
916-339-1140. Let's hear from Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
I'm at a wake, man. You know, it's like it was a funeral last night. I mean, and you guys, you try your best to analyze things and try to, you know, figure out what's going on. But it wasn't Fox last night. It wasn't. I mean, all the guys were making turnovers. They were making dumb turnovers. And I'm putting this on Brown, man. Y'all hear me out. I'm not saying we should get rid of Brown.
Right.
But listen to me. Everybody saw my man Kobe White and what's the other guy that was?
DeRozan.
Everybody saw them guys getting on the heater. We had two double-digit leads, okay? We saw those guys starting to cook. Whoever was guarding them couldn't guard them one-on-one. When we played Clippers last week, we got the ball out of Kawhi's hand. We double-teamed him. We trapped him. We made sure he didn't get those shots. Last night, Brown didn't make any adjustments. There was nobody on the team that could guard DeRozan one-on-one. We know that. They still didn't run guys at him and get the ball out of his hand. Kobe White was toasting our guys, okay? 37, he got a career high. What adjustments did Brown make? Same when they had those two double digit leads. Mm-hmm. We would go down and rush shots. Man, we a coach have to let the team know, look, we leading by double digits. Don't come down there and launch a three or shoot a fast quick shot. You move the ball. You move the ball. You set picks. You make get guys open. And then you know I hear my boy Watson. I like Watson. But Watson, it don't matter what Herter is saying, man. Look, Herter is one of our weaknesses.
Thanks for the call, Will. Where to start first? Styles and Watkins. The defense part of it, they were sending blitzes. The problem was you had two scores. You blitzed out of DeRozan, but then you still had Kobe White to deal with. And that is why when we don't bring up the fact that Paul George didn't play when they faced the Clippers, that's why this gets more glaring.
Yeah.
And that's why Denver media will get on these airwaves and say, we're not worried about you.
Yeah.
And that's why Timberwolves and Jaden McDaniels will say, we're not worried about you. Because if Paul George was playing with the Clippers, maybe those blitzes on Kawhi don't work.
Right. Yep.
Maybe they don't work.
They don't.
All you need is Coby White, who's just now figuring out how to play at the NBA level. God. And he's balling, don't get me wrong, but he's just now getting there. All you need is Coby White and a guy who's on the other side of the hill in DeRozan that can score the basketball.
It's a bucket,
and the blitz is cooked. So and that goes to the text that we teased before the break, and we'll get to it right here when we return, because is it about who's on the court or playing and how they're producing, or is it about who's on the court due to the roster, which is not on Mike Brown?
Yeah.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Hour and 15 minutes away from your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center this summer, July 30th. We will give away tickets at 1 p.m. If you want your chance to win Chris Brown tickets, that is at 1 p.m. Let's keep the calls rolling, the texts rolling. We are a show of the people, and TC wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Yes, sir. Styles and Chris, what's going on?
Not too much, man. You know what it is?
Hey, man, y'all already know, man. I'm still living from last night, man. You know, just trying to get through it, you know, with this team frustrating. Hey, I'm with the last caller, man. Like, I always call about with Mike. Look, I love Mike, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's two things about this team that irks me that it's really Mike Ball. Excuse me, I said Mike Ball. Mike Brown's fault, where it's controllable by him. The live and die by the three-pointer. I know everybody has their own feelings behind that situation, and everybody wants to say it's probably the scheme, this and that. But, bro, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. When it's not falling, we have to do something else. I'm like, that's on you, bro. This whole hit the paint touch, and spray, all this whole spray BS. It's good when it's working. But when it's not working, bro, it's bad. And it seems like we have no counter off that. So if we're just a straight three-point shooting, take away the layups, De'Aaron, don't drive the lane, go Mox. You get outside the key and start shooting a bunch of threes. If that's the type of team we're going to be, bro, because it's irritating.
Yeah.
It's irritating to see when those aren't falling. It's horrible. Also, Mike, please stop playing with the rotations. When you see we playing a bigger team, give Alex Land minutes. Keon Ellis, you got to read the room, Mike. I don't care about starters. I don't care about rotation. You're cutting it down. We're not established to do that. We're like a freelance team. Like how our offense is freelance, our rotation should be freelance. Mm-hmm. You got the five starters, but the bench should be sprinkled in. De'Aaron, if it's the first 3 minutes and it seems like you don't have it in the first quarter, I don't give a damn, bro. You're coming off the game, and we're bringing somebody else in. I'm not going to keep you in just because you're a starter. Mike, I'm talking to you, Brown. I love you, bro. Get the rotation under control, and please come with a counter off these BS three-pointers that we keep shooting.
Thanks for the call, TC. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. In the post-game pressers, the first thing they'll talk about, because TC, like a lot of fans, have talked about too many threes,
yes,
or too reliant
absolutely
on the three. You'll get in that post-game, and they'll talk about all the more threes that they should have shot that they did not shoot. The Trey Lyles situation.
Right.
That's who they are. Mm-hmm. That's their identity right now. And I don't know that they have the horses to change that identity. That's what they're
built
to do. It's
like the Lakers getting to the line, right?
Right. That's what they're built to do.
Yeah.
And when it's not working, I did see a lot of people say yesterday that the Kings, and we've talked about it from the beginning of the season, whether the Kings are too one-dimensional or everybody knows what the Kings want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a matter of stopping it. You just hope that you catch them on a down night, and if you do, you got a shot.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be the Sabonis dribble handoff. Somebody's going to get into the paint and kick out. And it's not unique to the Kings. That's what a lot of teams do. The Kings feel like they have a better group to to do that at a high level.
Yeah, in theory,
but it has not happened. And when you have you've thrown some things in the mix that have messed with that, right? Keegan having to you know step up defensively and all that. De'Aaron now being on the outside more as a 3-point shooter himself, and Kevin Huerter just being ice cold, and Harrison Barnes just being not ice cold, but sometimes you wonder. We stopped doing that. We felt bad doing the how many minutes did Harrison play, because we don't really
need to do that. The bottom line is, you know, when he played and when he didn't. I do want to get to this text that we had discussed, though, and I'm going to read it verbatim, and somebody is going to be just turning on their Sactown Sports app or car and think that this is me saying this, but I'm going to repeat. This is from the 916. You guys are taking the micro view and blaming coach. I'm looking macro and blaming Monty. This team is filled with Monty's type. Skilled, nice, safe, non-tattooed. It's imperative that Monty get out of his comfort zone and bring in tough players. We have enough nice guys. Thanks. That is from Jeff.
Interesting. I mean, I hear you. I would definitely say that. I lean definitely not towards blaming Mike Brown, but I think that for the most part, I do agree that the shortcomings of this team are a lot based on personnel. I was just telling you, I was watching on NBA.com the playbacks of all of DeMar DeRozan's buckets, and they were all on HB. And, you know, we know that this team's only forward, like mobile forward options, I wouldn't throw Trey Lyles or Sasha in there, are HB and Keegan. And I think that's a fundamental problem, is that the league is getting bigger. You see so many teams that have these lineups of, you know, guys like Jaden McDaniels, but also you see the Pelicans have Herb Jones and, you know, Najee Marshall and Brandon Ingram and all these teams have so many great forwards. They just don't really have a lot of forward depth in a league that I think is just full of guys with length and size that can shoot. And I do blame a lot of the Kings' shortcomings on their personnel. I really do. I think that they are not built to play in the exact style that Mike Brown wants to play, and that's shooting threes. The personnel definitely fits the shooting threes, but Mike wants to play defense at the same time, and we've seen you kind of have to pick one, right? We've seen it all year. It's either this team locks up and can't hit a shot to save their life, or they're playing like they were last year and they're hitting threes but can't stop anybody like they did last night. And the second they stop hitting those threes, they look terrible. Yeah. They look absolutely terrible. So I think that a lot of it has to do with the guys that Mike Brown is being given. I think it's, you know, we talk about shopping for the ingredients or the groceries and the guy who can just put it together. I mean, Mike Brown, in my opinion, is – he's trying to do the best with the recipe, but at the end of the day, he's missing some core ingredients that you can't make the food dish taste how you want it to unless you have those ingredients. You can try and makeshift something, you know, you use heavy whipping cream instead, but it's not going to be the exact same as what you're trying to get there.
I think where this thing nets out is that you could make the argument that Mike Brown could make certain decisions which would have this team maybe a 5 seed.
Yes, right.
Maybe a 4 seed.
Yes.
But there aren't enough changes on this roster
to put them top 4, right?
Greg Popovich, they're not winning a championship. the coach.
Well, and that's the thing
name
about
name the
all
coach
this.
That would turn this team into a champion. This roster.
Yep.
Turn this team into a championship contender.
And I won't even say available coaches, because for the crowd that's saying, let go of Mike Brown, or Mike Brown's being crazy, like, I would love to know who your replacement coach is.
Coach Carter?
Just for this.
You will run for every sister that I have.
The coach from Remember the Titans?
Every free throw miss.
Coach Boone.
You run a mile.
You will run a mile. Petey, don't you drop that ball.
Before you go to break here, I got to ask you, that text – the no tattoo thing is really sticking with me.
It's stuck with me too.
Yeah, so
it's a nice guy thing. Malik has tattoos.
I was gonna say
we
Malik
know
has
what
tats-
they mean.
Yeah, so I just wondering if you guys think it's literal or metaphorical.
It's metaphorical.
Yeah, it's just that I don't know. That was a weird thing to say.
I also thought it was a very weird thing.
But
to say.
Do you think that
it's a weird descriptor?
Do you think that Monty has a type though?
Yeah, I think it's
tattoos, baby.
I mean, if you have a team that everybody is pretty similar,
yeah,
that would probably, under the same GM, that would probably mean that he has somewhat of a type.
I also think that Monty was tasked with building a team that could make the playoffs, not with a team that could win the finals. And this is his, I had to make a playoff team team. The next step of this thing is going to be this offseason in the, what does Monty McNair think a championship player is? Because, again, this Monty had to take this team from 16 years of playoff drought into a winner, and he did it pretty much overnight with the Sabonis trade and then that offseason bringing in Kevin, bringing in Malik, and then eventually bringing in Trey Lyles, too. I think that happened with the Sabonis trade. But that was for Monty, in my mind, how do I get this bad team into a team that can compete? Next, Monty has to be tasked, and you could argue that it should have started this past offseason or at this deadline. That's what I would say personally. But Monty's next task is, okay, how do I take this group of guys that I knew could compete or make this team competitive, make it a playoff team, and turn it into a competitor, an actual title contending team? We just haven't seen any of those moves yet. And so I'm saying all this to say, I think there's a difference between the kind of guy Monty McNair thinks can make your team better into a playoff team. I would say that's Kevin Huerter. I think Kevin Huerter is a guy who he can be on a playoff team. We saw him in Atlanta. He was a really key contributor. It then goes to the question that we've asked this season is Kevin Huerter a starting guard on a championship team? I don't think Monty McNair thinks so, and I think that's the next move, is figuring out how to, you know, we talk about with the Nuggets, going from Paul Millsap and Will Barton to KCP and Aaron Gordon. That's the next step that Monty needs to make, is he brought this team to the playoffs, the thing that he was asked to do, the thing that everybody wanted him to do. Now it's time for him to do the next thing, and he just hasn't gotten started on that yet.
From the 209, it's hard not to put the brunt of the blame on Monty.
It is, yeah.
It was obvious to everyone this team needed help. I hear the argument of not wanting to blow up the core, but what are you protecting? A team that didn't get past the first round? We're not there yet, and we need to make moves to get there, even if they are gambles. Monty did not make those moves. That is from Nick in Lodi, and we will react to that and to the two sore spots in that starting lineup, who we've been nice to them since the trade deadline, but it's about to get into it because it's a problem. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.